It is such a joy and privilege to be with you, and it's been 2.5 years since my husband and I were at a convention, so we're just so thankful to be sharing together with you today. If we could have our first slide, please. My message today, my sharing, is called History, Mystery, and My Story. And if you know my family at all, you know my sons and my husband all love history. But you are not getting a history lesson today. I am not a historian, but we're going to talk a little bit about history, mystery, and my story. Next slide, please. So I don't know if you've heard before, history is his story, meaning the Lord's story. And we're all today here today because of his story. Next slide, please. And then mystery. I was thinking of that word. And many of us, our lives are a mystery to us, and it's just unfolding. And I just notice if you change the E in mystery to an O, it becomes my story. So we go from history to mystery, not knowing what's going on, to it becoming my story. Next slide, please. So I'm hoping to help you unfold a little bit of mystery as I'm sharing a little bit of my story with you today. Next slide, please. My story plus your story equals his story. Okay, so next slide, please. I love this. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. He has a book for each of us, and he knows all about it. And the Lord recently has been unfolding a little bit of my book to me. And I've started having a bit of an understanding. And hopefully with me sharing a little bit of my story today, it will unfold a bit of the mystery of your story. Next slide, please. This is a bit of my story. 25 years ago this October, my husband and I were married. Next slide, please. This is another part of my story. Our wonderful boys that God has blessed us with, and we're so thankful to have them in our lives. Next slide, please. So in Africa, I love to bring color in. So much there is just drab, and dry season is very, very dusty, and it can be very drab. There are buildings that we don't have so much color. It's not like the Caribbean, where everything is brightly painted in that. So I like to bring in a little color. So I'm going to use a little bit of color to help us illustrate throughout our sharing today. So in front of you, a few of you have a colored piece of paper. Can I see the yellow one? There's a yellow one that says, please do not touch. You may now, okay, thank you. So now we're going to talk about this. I want to share with you a little bit about being a missionary. I recently heard this. Just hang on to that. You're going to get instruction a little bit later on that, okay? So next slide, please. A little bit to help us understand about being a missionary. Next slide, please. Thank you, that one. So we come from a yellow country. Okay, so I'm from Canada, so I came from a yellow country. Okay, now, next slide, please. Is there a person who has a blue paper? Okay, there we go. There's a blue paper right here. Okay, so then God calls us to, next slide, please. God calls us to a blue country. Okay, so we're in a blue country. Okay, next slide, please. Does somebody have a green little pack? Okay, there we have a green package. Okay, well, no longer do we really feel like we belong to the yellow country, but in the blue country, you're never really going to be blue either. So suddenly, next slide, you have become green. So if I look a little green today, you'll understand, because I'm not quite yellow anymore, but I'm not quite blue, I'm green, and you've become a new culture. So if you've never lived in another culture, that really does kind of help explain it. You've kind of created a missionary as you connect with, because you're all this green, and you understand that, yes, you come back to where you are from, and things are familiar, but it's not quite what we know or once knew. Next slide, please. So I want to ask some of you, what is something your mother taught you that was really important and special to you? Please, may I see some hands? Yes. To make special baked goods. I said yes. To be a hostess. Who else? Something your mother taught you. Yes. Respect your elders. Yes. Okay, very good. So we've learned so much from our mothers. And I want to share something I'd learned from my mother. She always planted in me wherever I was to make it my home. Even when I came to Bible school, I had to decorate it and make it my home. And that's something I love to do to this day. Next slide, please. So I'm just going to show you a couple of the places in my home in Cameroon that I've been to decorate. And it's because of what my mom taught me. This is our guest house. We call it the Bemenda Oasis. And it's even different now. It's now painted a bright yellow inside. But this was the first step of covering the fabric from the 70s that were on the couches. So this is our guest house. And if you come and when you come and visit us one day, you'll likely get to stay in our guest house. Next slide, please. Now we just renovated, actually finished it the week before we traveled here, a little two rooms. And this is what it looked like before. Next slide, please. Another couple pictures of what it looked like before. And this we're calling the Bemenda Cottage. Next slide, please. So this is now what it looks like. And it's sort of like a beach house cottage. And we are so excited to be able to offer more people to come and stay. Next slide, please. We even put in a toilet. A bathroom in Cameroon is called a toilet. So there's a toilet, and we have a little refrigerator and microwave for our guests to use. We're hoping to add on to this and have another room that will have a kitchen and a living space. Okay, so this slide, you know, sometimes the Lord causes us to have our branch go over the wall. And we have a missionary from, well, he's Cameroonian, but he lived in the States for years, and he has a ministry in Douala. And when he came and saw our guest house, he said, "Would you be willing to come decorate mine?" I'm like, "Yes!" You know, so how the Lord just gives us the desires of our heart. Next slide, please. These are more of the rooms in the place. Next slide, please. This is in our own house. These were the experts measuring our toilet. And we even had a Cameroonian shower in ours. And he said, "This is not even up to Cameroonian standards." So this year, for our gift to each other for 25 years of marriage, next slide, please, we renovated our own toilet. And we have two sinks. In 25 years of marriage, we have always wanted two sinks, and we have never had two sinks. So I live in Africa, and I have two sinks. So it's just a real blessing to have. So I'm so thankful to have learned from my mom. And I plant that in the ladies there. Home is not really a place that they spend a lot of time. And when you go to their homes, you kind of see why. No one wants to spend time there, so we really try to invest in them. It's not about having expensive things. We have amazing markets we can go to, but teaching them how to make their homes a place their family wants to go to. Next slide, please. Have any of you seen this movie, One Special Night? Let me see. How many? Oh, come on, sisters. We know we're all sisters. You must see this movie, One Special Night. And I don't know if you've heard some of the trouble that's been going on in our country, but we're facing a lot of things. And when the trouble first broke out, you know, we just started thinking, well, we don't have the multitudes to teach to. We couldn't start school right away. Things just changed. And God quickened something to me from this movie. If you remember in this movie, the woman, she's a doctor, and she could never have children of her own. And Julie Andrews. Gotta love Julie Andrews. And who's the handsome guy? James Garner. Yes, James Garner. He says to her, maybe she was a doctor of newborns. Thank you. And so he said to her, maybe you were meant to save one special one. And God spoke that to me. We're not in a classroom with, you know, 70 to 90 students. There might be one during this time that you're to minister to. And that one is going to go and reach the multitudes. So many times we think in ministry, we have things in our mind, how it has to be. But the Lord, his ways are above our ways. And I want to encourage us, investing into one person, you don't know what that will do and the lives that that one will impact. Next slide, please. Okay, who has the red one? Where's the red one? Okay, there we go. There's our red one. So what comes to your mind when you think of the color red? I know a couple things, few things come to my mind. What do we sort of associate with red? Sorry? Huh? Yes, that was my first one. Oh, we're women. We're on the same wavelength. Next slide, please. Love. And, you know, love is extending out our hands to others. It is extending our hands out to others. And that brings me to my first little story here. So we have a new groundskeeper on our compound, and his name is Godfred. And Godfred has 7 sons, and they all live at home. They range in age from 5 to 29 years old. And he didn't have work for a while. He was a taxi driver, and because of our situation we're living in, he did not have work. And through only what the Lord can do, he brought Godfred to us, and he has turned out to be an amazing man. And his wife's name is Mizpah. And it's very important for people to come and see you before you travel, that they can greet you and everything. So she comes with her 3 youngest sons. I hadn't met 2 of them. I've met the 3 older. I still have 1, the middleman, to meet. But Mizpah comes, and we're sitting there visiting, and I have 50 billion things to do, you know, trying to pack and get ready, but you must sit and greet and bring food to them and talk to them. So she pulls out of her bag this. She said, "Mommy," she says, "I'm going to cry." She says, "When you go back," she says, "every time you see these, will you remember me?" And, you know, these people have nothing. She says, "We are so thankful to the Lord for you and all that you have done for us. And we try to help him out extra and give him extra work and give him food and things. But here, out of her, just, they have nothing. She bought me these slippers." Next slide, please. So now, Cinderella shoes take on a new meaning for me. So when you think of Cinderella and her shoes, may you remember Mizpah and her heart of giving, that hand extended to me. And I'm telling you, these slippers are going with me wherever I go. And how can I ever forget my Mizpah waiting back for me to come? So I'm so grateful for the love of the people and their heart toward us and the heart that we have toward them. Next slide, please. So we're back to red again. Is there something else you think of, maybe not as pleasant as love? What do we think of? I cut myself. Blood. Okay, so love and blood. But I got thinking about that. Next slide, please. I thought, isn't that interesting? There's power in the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood of Jesus. Love we associate with red and blood. And the love of Jesus and his power. And recently we were in church. It was actually an evening service right on our campus. And my husband, the presence of the Lord was so strong there. And my husband was the preacher that night. And the Lord gave me a vision while we were standing there of soldiers coming. They were coming to the doors of the church. And I got up and I just started shouting in the spirit at them. I mean, just literally shouting. And they all just went like this, and they turned and left. And, you know, so many think today, oh, you know, actually we had a missionary friend last year visiting us at the time when October 1st, it was very serious. That one day we had to remain indoors and helicopters were flying and a military vehicle came up beyond our gate and the next gate, but we could see and it was pretty tense. And she said, "I got a knife to lay on my nightstand at night." And she's just this tiny little woman is like, "And what are you going to do with that little knife with the big burly soldier?" It was so funny, but you know what? The power of the blood of Jesus, and I believe these days we're living in, we are going to need King David feigned mad, didn't he, in one instance. And the Lord will tell us what we're to do. And when I just shouted in the spirit, it was like, God just, "You're not going to get my students. You're not going to touch my staff." There was this mother protectiveness in me. And I think in these days we are going to experience those things more and more. Next slide, please. So what is something your father taught you? Please. Something your father taught you. Yes. How to drive. How to drive. Okay. How to be teachable. Who else? Respect authority. Hard work. Okay. So my father taught me many things, just like my mother taught me many things. The one thing I would like to share is when I was a little girl, I remember on Orchard Street, 418 Orchard Street, going outside in a storm, and my dad would be on the porch. He loved to watch storms, and he would be there holding my hand, and we would just watch storms. And my father taught me not to fear, even in the storms of life, not to fear. And to hold steady, it's going to be okay, and holding on to my daddy's hand. And to this day, I don't fear storms. I really don't fear what's going on round about me. Next slide, please. Is it there? Okay, you can't see it. Good, because it's black. Who has the black one? Who has the black one? There we go. Okay, next slide, please. There's something about myself I never quite understood. I love the nighttime. And I especially love to go for walks at night. Next slide, please. My favorite place in Canada to walk is downtown Toronto at night. And I've never understood. People think I'm just crazy, and I think I'm crazy. It's like, okay, it's nighttime. You know, there could be creepy people out there, and you can't necessarily see where you're going. But I have always loved the nighttime. And I never understood why. And just a little while ago, the Lord quickened something to me. Next slide, please. This verse. Even the darkness is not dark unto you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. And God quickened me. He created the night. He created the darkness just like he created the light. And he started speaking to me. He gave me that service that we had. That chapel service, he gave me a prophecy for our students and for us that the darkness, and it's similar to the prophecy I gave the other night, the darkness is coming on the earth. And with what we are facing in our country right now, it is very, very dark. But the Lord just started stirring within me. He created me to love the darkness. I'm going to be able to stand in these dark days. I'm not going to be afraid because he put in my heart a love and to not have that fear of the dark. So it was like this big revelation to me. And it was like, Lord, you're so amazing. Instead of me thinking, what is wrong with me? And for each of us, for your story, remember, this is my story. So maybe you're thinking of something in your life you've never quite understood why. Now, why am I this way? Why am I this way? Maybe it's because God created you that way, and he's going to show you, reveal the mystery of that in your life so that you can use it for his honor and glory. Next slide, please. You know, Queen Esther, that story, I always thought of such a romantic story. Oh, to be chosen as queen, to be so beautiful and just chosen as queen. And just the last couple weeks, the Lord was quickening to me. We all know that saying, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we all think, oh yes, this is the day God has called me to. You know, I'm called to the kingdom for such a time as this. But what did that mean for her? She could have been killed any moment. If her husband didn't extend the invitation when she approached his chamber, she could have been killed on the spot. Haman was out to get her people. She was in line to be killed. Just because God calls us to the kingdom at such a time as this does not mean that we're safe. It does not mean that we're going to be without challenges. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, I was called to Cameroon for such a time as this. It's God's just been birthing it, even with the trouble we're going through. And people here say, well, don't you need to come back? You know, there's gunfire. And it's like, well, excuse me, if I was in Toronto the other day downtown, I might have got run over by a vehicle. Every time we turn the news on, I mean, I could be in the mall here and be shot. You know, it's like we can't dwell on that. We must be where God wants us to be. So maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling. And just recognizing, just because it might not be safe where you are does not mean that that's not God's will for you. And are we willing? You know, Esther was just willing. She was just willing no matter the results. She was willing. Next slide, please. I shared a verse in Psalm 139. Here's more verses. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. He already knows us. We already talked about our book for each one of us that is written. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways. He just knows every part of us, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. Isn't that so precious? So if you're called to a situation that you feel you're not equipped for, you feel it's not a safe situation, just already know the end of the story is already written in your book. He just wants to open it and reveal to you. He wants to give you just that peace and assurance. You don't need to fear because he is there with you. And my husband and I say, we are going back October 5th. We don't know if we'll be able to return to Bemidji, our home, but we have a contingency plan. And God might open some other doors. He's been invited to share another of our Bible schools in Cameroon. And God dealt with me on Bemidji's my home. I love Bemidji, but am I willing to go where the Lord wants me to go? Next slide, please. So this is the moment for which you were created. This is just my story I'm sharing details about, but he's wanting to take away some of the mystery of your story and have you recognize that this is the moment you were created for. You might not be called to Cameroon. Maybe you're called to come visit me for a time. Maybe you are called in the days ahead to Cameroon. I don't know. Maybe you're called to sit right here. But you were created for such a time as this. Okay, ladies, next slide. Has any of this ever happened to you? Oh, my goodness. One day I got home from work when I was still a secretary in Canada. I'm listening to the answer machine, and I'm like, what is she talking about? All of a sudden, I finally clued in. I had called my answer machine to leave myself a message, and I thought it was my mother. Years ago, my mother would always make the comment, because the Lord called my parents to travel around the world. She said, I go to be with your dad. I'm a homebody. And I used to look at my mother and I was like, what are you talking about? It's so adventuresome to be able to go places and new experiences. And guess what? I just want to be home now. I opened my mouth and my mother just came out. I just want to be home. Bemidji is my home. But recently the Lord dealt with me and he said, okay, were you called to Bemidji or were you called to Cameroon? It's like, okay, Lord, we go to Yaoundé, the capital city, and it's a nice place to visit, but oh, I want to go home to Bemidji. But we might have to live in Yaoundé. Our what we have known these last 4 years might be changing. War might break out and we won't be allowed back into our home. We don't know what's going to happen. October 1st again is elections and we fly back. We leave Toronto on the 5th. So our plan is to fly into Cameroon on the 6th and fly to Bemidji on the 7th. But there might not even be a flight. A couple days before we were ready to come, we got word that people, the separatists who are trying to separate from our, because of the issues we're dealing with, told the people near our Bemidji airport, evacuate, we're going to attack the airport. Well, we had a flight booked to fly out. It's like, are we going to be able to get our flight? Are we going to have to drive? You know, and that trip is very challenging for me. But anyways, are we willing? Are we willing? Are we willing? Next slide, please. Sometimes this happens. We know from the Bible. Excuse me, getting a bit warm here. Sometimes this happens, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. I'm like, Lord, what happens if you're calling me to Yaoundé when I get back? But I'm longing for Bemidji. I'm longing for my home. We're making it a very nice place for us. We like it. It's our home. But am I willing? Or if I'm forcing my husband, come, we're going back to Bemidji. I don't want to live in Yaoundé. I don't want leanness to be in my soul. I don't want my husband to miss out on what he's called us to. And you know, the Lord always chooses the best. Next slide, please. God's desire for me. God's desire for me. And I'm starting to recognize more and more, maybe it's with age, you know, you heard I turned another year old yesterday. Maybe it's with age, but when I allow God to give me his desire, and then he fulfills it, how content and satisfied I am. But when I try to force my own desires to happen, and oh, I've been good at trying to do that for years, I'm not satisfied. I just keep striving and striving, and I'm never satisfied. So all of you who have those little packages, would you open them, please? Would you open them? When the yellow one is open, hold it up and let's see what it is. You know how sometimes when you participate in a group and they say, and for your participation, you get to go home with this. Well, you get to go home with this for your participation in our class today. So let's see, what's the yellow one? It's a bookmark that says Cameroon. So I'm being a little selfish in my giving today. I'm giving these with the request, when you see that, please pray for my nation. Our nation needs prayer. Please take that seriously and pray for my nation. Blue. Who has the blue? A little, oh, look at that, a little giraffe. I love giraffes. They're like one of my favorites. I've never seen one in Africa, but just the zoo in Bowmanville in Canada, but maybe one day. Okay, what we had green next, right? A little green. Who's it was? A bracelet. When you wear that bracelet, may you think of Cameroon. Red, our love and blood of Jesus. What do we have? Oh, a flip-flop. Isn't that adorable, ladies? Now, don't all of you want to have that? It's a little flip-flop keychain. I love that. I love that. Okay, black. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. There's nothing in the black one. Do we often feel that when we're going through a dark time, there's nothing? There's absolute nothingness in the darkness? But guess what? There are treasures in darkness. There are treasures that God has for us that we hold steady. And he brings us through the darkness. So you're getting a dark plate. This is the wood from Africa. But you're also getting the jewel that shines. Because that represents treasures. And so my sister, you were not forgotten. You were not forgotten. But the point is, treasures in the darkness. And these days we are living in, ladies, are getting darker and darker and darker. But we do not need to fear. We do not need to fear. Next slide, please. You can't go back and change the beginning. I know there's sometimes things in my life I wish were written different in my story. It wasn't because God wrote it differently. It's because I didn't avail myself of his grace. The story changed a little bit. He already knew it. It was already written. But what he had purposed wasn't there because I chose my own way. So you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are today. You can start where you are and change the ending. Amen.